Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the FinecoBank first quarter 2016 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Foti, CEO of FinecoBank. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining our first quarter 2016 results conference call. Net profit in the first quarter reached 51.2 million, +7.2% year-on-year, and almost 15% more than the previous quarter, with growing revenues compared to both year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter, coupled with cost very well under control. Once more, the effectiveness of a unique business model, supported by a very diversified stream of revenues, allowed us to deliver growing results in a challenging environment, characterized, as you well know, by huge market volatility and by continuously declining interest rates. As of March, a strong capital position is confirmed with a transitional Common Equity Tier 1 ratio at 21.31%. We are very satisfied not only by the level of, but even more by the quality of our commercial performance, achieved in a sustainable way through an organic growth and we know aggressive marketing campaign or offers on interest rates. Net sales reached 1.8 billion in the first 4 months, compared to 2.1 billion 1 year ago. Let's bear in mind the different market conditions compared to 2015. Our strategy to move clients into added value solutions, the so-called guided products, is continuously accelerating. We reached a penetration rate of 48% out of the total asset under management, 7 percentage points higher than last year. The network is strongly focused in this direction, and since the beginning of the year, net sales in guided products and solutions amounted to 800 million, of which more than 380 million in April. Total financial assets were at 55.8 billion at the end of April, partially recovering from the negative market effect recorded in January and February. Executed orders at almost 7.9 million, +2.6% year-on-year and +20% quarter-on-quarter. As already announced, the year started very strong for brokerage, with January and February among the best months of ever. Finally, despite we are practically paying zero on term deposits, we acquired 40,000 new clients in the first 4 months, and the total number of clients as of April exceeded 1,077,000. It is worth mentioning that our growing path is also confirmed by strong market positioning. Our total financial assets market share increased to 1.43% as of December 2015, from 1.34% at the end of  2014. Moving to slide five, looking at our P&L performance, we registered the second-best quarter of ever in Fineco history, with a net profit of 51.2 million, a growth rate of 7.2% year-on-year, and an outstanding double-digit growth compared to the previous quarter, excluding non-recurring items. Despite the challenging start of the year, the comparison with the stated fourth quarter, amounting at 42.2 million, would have been higher at +21.3%. Revenues continue to improve, growing at to 140 million, an increase of  2.4% compared to the previous quarter, and 2.5% year-on-year, despite the drop in interest rates and complex market phase recorded at the beginning of this year. Operating costs in the first quarter were, as usual, well managed at 60.2 million, in line with the first quarter of 2015, and 2.2% up compared to the previous quarter. Cost-income ratio down at 40%, 43% from 44% as of March 2015, stable quarter on quarter. On slide 6, we get an overview of our revenue generation distributed across all the most important P&L items. Net interest income was at 62.2 million, stable compared to the previous quarter, despite a one-day shorter period, and up 10% year-on-year, mainly thanks to a solid increase in high-quality volumes, despite a scenario hugely affected by negative interest rates. Fees and commissions down to 58.2 million during the first quarter with different dynamics. On the brokerage side, fees at 20.3 million, 6% higher than the previous quarter and lower compared to the first quarter 2015, which was really booming for brokerage with a level of volatility and definitely higher than this quarter. For Fineco, as you probably remember, March 2015 has been the best month of ever over the last 5 years for brokerage. In addition, our internationalization activity is structurally growing and clients are more and more moving their activity in direction of over-the-counter products whose profitability is reported in the trading profit line. On the investing side, the comparison with the fourth quarter has been affected by the negative market performance, with management fees slightly lower at 40 million and placement fees down 38%, while the yearly performance was sustained by the growing penetration of high-quality guided products and services, which increased their penetration rate on total asset under management to 47% at the end of March 2016 from 39% 1 year ago. On the banking side, fee income was hit by a new European regulation which introduced a cap on the credit cards applicable commission starting from the end of December. The healthy revenue generation has been sustained also by trading income, contributing to total revenues with 19.6 million in the first quarter, a buoyant increase of 56% quarter on quarter and 15% year on year, mainly driven by internalized orders and over-the-counter clients' activity. In addition, in a framework of interest rate risk mitigation, we realized a 5 million gain related to the sale of almost 700 million of Italian and Spanish government bonds at variable rate with an average maturity below 3 years. In our balance sheet, we substitute these govies with almost 700 million of Italian and Spanish government bonds at fixed rate with an average maturity between 3 and 6 years, so with a pickup in terms of returns. For your knowledge, trading profit in the near future will benefit before the year end from the gain resulting from the purchase of our equity investments in Visa Europe Limited share. As a result of the offer received from Visa at the end of 2015, this investment has been measured at the fair value, previously accounted at cost. Based on the information we have up to now, the transaction is expected to bring gains for 9.8 million. Let's move to the net interest dynamics. We are strongly focused in attracting the so-called transactional liquidity, a very valuable liquidity, very sticky and cheap, not driven by interest rates, but linked to the high quality of our services and banking platform. The evidence is that a relentless progression inside deposit volumes, more than 20% compared to 1 year ago, and plus 5.4% compared to the previous quarter. This increase, combined with the decline in term deposits, more than offset the reduction in gross margins and the declining interest rates. As you can see at the bottom of the slide, gross margin lowered from 1.56% as of March 2015 to 1.42% this quarter, and Euribor 1 month from 0 to minus 0.26. As usual, in slide 8, we summarize some key elements related to the UniCredit bond portfolio, useful to better understand the sustainability of interest income coming from this portfolio. In the top chart, you find the yearly maturities of the existing portfolio with the related average spreads. For example, 1.7 billion will expire in 2017 with an average spread of 178 basis points. In the bottom chart, we updated the simple exercise made last quarter to understand the minimum sight deposits growth needed to offset the reduction in the interest income coming from the reinvestment of this portfolio in a more challenging scenario. The assumption in this stress scenario are 7 years with a negative 1-month Euribor at -0.30% from 2016 to 2023 versus an average of 2015 at -0.07%. Expiring bonds and new core liquidity investment both in UniCredit bonds and European government bonds. An average reinvestment spread in the period at 125 basis points. As you can see in the blue bubble of this chart, to match lower spreads and very aggressive negative Euribor, we need a compound annual growth rate of sight deposits in the period from 2015 to 2023 of 7.2% in order to maintain at least the interest income deriving from the UniCredit bonds portfolio at 2015 level. As usual, on the right of the chart, we show the historical growth. Sight deposits grew in the period 2011-2015 by 14%, last year by 23.2%, and as shown in the previous slide, 4.5% in the first quarter. Even assuming a sharp deceleration in our growth, and we don't see any reason for that, we are confident of the sustainability of this component. Moving to slide 9, we have a detailed overview on cost evolution, and as you know, the focus on efficiency is core in our bank. Staff expenses was at 18.7 million in the first quarter of 2016, almost in line with the comparable quarters. Out of slightly more than 1,000 employees, 20% works in the IT department and 70% in the customer relationship management area. Other administrative expenses are the 39.3 million in the first quarter, of which 22.8 million development costs to support the growth and 16.6 million running costs related to the effectiveness of our operational machine. In terms of seasonality, first quarter expenses include 3.8 million related to personal financial advisors, social security contribution as an ASARCO association, and FIR termination compensation fund, which usually affect the most at the beginning of the year as the payment are subjected to an yearly cap. On slide 10, we have the capital ratio. Fineco showed a low-risk balance sheet, confirming its strong capital position with a transitional common equity Tier 1 ratio of 21.31% and the common equity Tier 1 ratio fully loaded at 22.01%. On slide 11, we updated the historical series of Fineco total financial assets. The healthy expansion of new inflows is confirmed with 18.5 billion net sales since 2011, highlighting our strong commercial performance. Negative market effect affected the start of the year, minus 1.8 billion in the first quarter, of which the most 1.1 billion related to asset under custody. Clearly, this component started to recover in March and April, benefiting from a rebound in financial markets. Moving to slide 12, you see a detailed overview of net inflows and total financial asset breakdown. The year started with a strong boost of the asset under custody component as a result of booming brokerage activity, and deposits represented by both by transactional liquidity, not looking for investments, and by a pool of, for potential conversion in asset under management as a result of a wait-and-see mood adopted by clients at the beginning of the year. Looking at April year-to-date figures, solid net sales at 1.8 billion compared to 2.1 billion as of April 2015, delivered in a different market environment, confirming the attractiveness and sustainable and density model, focused on organic growth and long-term customer loyalty. As a result, we are very satisfied not only by the level, but even more by the quality of our growth, carried out in a sustainable way and practically at zero cost with no aggressive marketing campaign, offers on interest rates, or overpaying recruitment to buy assets and clients. Moving to personal financial advisor performance, they gathered 1.6 billion of net sales in the first 4 months, of which 800 million in guided products and services, confirming the strong commitment in moving clients into added value solutions. In March and April, more than 300 client events have been realized on the territory, fully dedicated to behavioral finance to help clients manage their wealth with a long-term approach, bearing in mind the client's investment targets. Our ability to grow organically is constantly delivered, confirming the soundness of our inflows. We believe that this business model, characterized by low dependence from external recruitment, is sound and strongly sustainable in the long run. In the following slides, we deep dive into results, taking into consideration the different products area. As the results have been mixed in terms of underlying dynamics, I would skip this slide and move directly to the next one to analyze in depth each area. Banking revenues raised more than 80% year-on-year in a subdued interest rate environment. As a reference, the Euribor 1 month fell to minus 0.26% in the first quarter 2016 from 0 1 year ago. Net interest income grew almost 3% quarter-on-quarter despite 1 day less, and 13% year-on-year thanks to a relentless progression of sight deposits and a sharp reduction in term deposits. The acquisition of new customers continues, attracted by the quality of our customer experience without taking advantage of short-term commercial campaigns. It's worth mentioning that customer satisfaction continues to be very high at 99%, and the churn rate remains very low, under 2% on yearly basis, net of technical closures. On the other side, fee income has been hit by a new European regulation, which introduced a cap on the credit card's applicable commissions starting from the end of December. On brokerage, 2016 started very strong for brokerage, as January and February have been among the best months of ever, confirming the counter-cyclical nature of this business. Fees were at 20.3 million, 6% higher than the previous quarter and lower compared to the first quarter 2015. Looking at the yearly comparison, please let me underline how the quarter has been really booming for brokerage, currently with a level of volatility definitely higher than what experienced this year. In addition, our internalization activity is structurally growing and clients are more and more moving their activity towards over-the-counter products. Finally, on slide 18, you can see revenue dynamics related to the investing activity. Revenues at 37.7 million in the first quarter, clearly The comparison with the previous quarter has been affected by negative market performance, with management fees slightly lower at 40 million and placement fees down 38%. On yearly basis, revenues grew 3.3%, supported by the increase in guided products and services, now at 48% and equal to 12.8 billion. Management fees grew 3.8% year-on-year from 38.5 million to 40 million, with margins at 62 basis points aligned with the first quarter of 2015. Thanks for your time, and we will now open the call to questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Federico Salerno of MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Three questions for me, please. The first is on equity brokerage fees. I am wondering if you expect a recovery in the coming months. That's the first question. More for the medium term, I would like to have your opinion on Atlante. Some of your competitors are mentioning the fund could stabilize the weaker players in the sector, and so possibly lead to a deceleration in net inflows going forward. I'd just like to have your opinion on this. On the impact of you offering a zero interest rate at the moment when competitors, as you mentioned, are in fact offering something more. Do you think these can potentially again slow down your new clients capture in the coming quarters or not? Thank you.
Let me start from the equity orders. We have to remind that, as we mentioned during the presentation, that there is a structural move on the clients out of the traditional cash equity services on the listed stock exchange in direction of the over-the-counter products. Clearly, in order to have a clear picture, you need to observe both the two activities. Clearly, as you know very well, the number of orders looking forward are strictly related to the level of volatility of the market. Clearly, we are not able to, because in any case, coming back to the overall, the total executed orders grew by 2.6% respect last year. If you put together the cash equity with the over-the-counter products. In terms of future dynamics, clearly it depends on the future level of volatility. Again, we are extremely relaxed regarding this point because the business model is working very well. Every time that there is, for example, now we are experiencing a decrease in volatility, but on the other end, clearly this is helping in recovering, making recovering the investing side of the business. What we expect for the future is a continuation of this trend of clients moving direction of over-the-counter products that I want to remind also that for us are more profitable than the traditional cash equity, because cash equity is characterized by the fact that we are charging a flat commission, and that's all. In the case of the over-the-counter products, these are free commissions products, and what we get is embedded in the spread. The spread, clearly the dimension of the spread we are getting is related to the volumes. Clearly, by far, the over-the-counter products are for us more profitable. On Atlante, my personal point of view is that for sure it's a smart move because it's helping in fixing some immediate needs on the market, so putting the market a little bit under control. And on the other end, he is going to introduce what is a kind of a market maker on the NPLs, because I think that in the past, the future has been that there was nobody taking the responsibility to fix the prices for the NPLs. Now, Atlante clearly is not in terms of dimension, is not in the position to take on his shoulder the full burden of the overall total amount of NPLs on the Italian markets, but on the other hand, can create, can bring some more order and helping the markets in understanding which kind of which is the real value of these NPLs. And this, together with some interesting initiatives by the government regarding the acceleration of recovery of the credits, in my opinion, can bring an quite interesting help in stabilizing the market. Regarding the fact that we are keeping on attracting clients and assets despite the fact that we are paying zero, we are not concerned, and on the other end we think that the results achieved by the bank are absolutely outstanding, because Fineco at the moment, based on our calculation, is the Italian bank with the lowest funding cost, because we have a funding cost of one basis point that is practically zero. Nevertheless, the bank is continuously remaining incredibly attractive, again, because the main reason for which clients are coming to Fineco is because they are interested in the quality of the services we are providing through our banking and brokerage platform. So, for example, now it's very interesting to observe, like, immediately after there is the end of some commercial campaign based on interest rates, immediately the day before, immediately the day after, we have the flow starting again, coming back in Fineco, because again, the key driver is who is in the driving seat of the relation with the clients, and definitely Fineco is in this position. So I think that this is a huge point of strength for the bank, because differently from many other banks, we can allow to keep on having a very strong results in terms of net sales, but with a quite sustainable and wealthy approach. And this, again, is one of the main reasons why our net interest income is so resilient despite the quite difficult environment characterized by continuously declining interest rates.
Alessandro, sorry to go back to Atlante. In conclusion, you don't think that the acquisition of new clients is going to be impacted that much? Is that fair to say?
I think that what you can expect for the future is to have Fineco keeping on doing its way. So because we prefer differently from other players, not playing very hard on the side of the difficulties of the small and medium regional banks, because again, we don't want to take on board clients exclusively because they are panicking. So again, the clients that are coming into Fineco, they are keeping on coming mainly because they are interested in the great level of services we are offering. And so what's going on Atlante and the level of interest rates is not expected to affect too much what we are doing. So the bank is expected to keep on doing its way. So very robust growth and very wealthy, extremely sustainable.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Gianluca Ferrari with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning. I have three questions. The first one is on the weighted average performance net of costs you delivered to your clients in the first quarter. I was wondering if you can give us a number for the total performance and the performance on asset asset management products. The second question is if you can give us a bit of color on your initiative in London, if you have any target or, which kind of ambition do you have from that project? And the last one is, did I understand correctly, you are going to have some 10 million of additional trading income coming from the mark-to-market of the investment in Visa Europe. Is that right? Thank you.
Yeah. So let me start from the, because now we will try to recover some more data on the performance on asset under management. So let me start with Visa. So that's correct. We expect to get by year end and to have an extraordinary gains that is in the region of 10 million of euros. It is related to the transaction with Visa Europe Limited. And this transaction is based on the expenditure made in the past by our clients on the Visa credit cards. And clearly, this is going to help in more than offsetting the expected negative results deriving from the cap introduced by the European Commission on the interchange fee. And so, on the short term, this year, we don't expect any significant impact produced by the introduction of this cap, thanks to this extraordinary gain related to the Visa Europe transaction. Looking a little bit on medium term horizon, we don't expect started also is a repricing of our credit card business in order to consider the decreased profitability produced by the introduction of this cap. The first signals we are receiving by the clients are absolutely very, very promising, because clients have no problems in accepting a repricing on our credit card business, in case we remain extremely competitive and attractive. And again, when the price remains in a fair range and the quality of the services you are providing, you are not requested to be the deep discount, so the player offering the lowest price. So with the combination of the extraordinary gains related to the Visa Europe transaction on the short term and the repricing action on the longer term, we expect to fully recover the negative impact produced by the introduction of this cap. Regarding the UK project, the UK project is a project that we confirm is expected to start by year end, at worst the beginning of next year. It's going to be an extremely cost light and capital light business approach, because we are going to approach the UK business using the European passport. So all the services are going to be provided directly from Italy. Clearly, we are preparing a brand new set of services that they are not too different from what we are offering here in Italy, but with the addition of some specific features that they are related to the UK market. The reason why we decided to target the UK market is, first of all, because UK is a large market, but to some extent is a little bit inefficient, because, for example, there is nobody offering what we call the one-stop solution. So there is, if you are an UK-based client and you need, for example, you need to have an account with a commercial bank for traditional banking. If you need investing products, you need to have another account with some players like St. James or Graves. And then if you need some serious brokerage, another account as well. So Fineco is able to provide a one-stop solution. Second, in UK, there is a very large, we have many UK residents that are not British. And so, for example, there is the Italian community that is the third largest, with 500,000 of Italians living there. And for them, for example, an account like Fineco is a great services, because, for example, they have the need to continuously change from pounds to euro or some other currencies. Fineco is the only one bank in Europe that is offering a full and multi-currency account, through which you can switch in real time from a currency another from the one single account. So, and on top of that, clearly with this business model, we don't need to gather hundreds of thousands of clients for becoming profitable, but with a few thousands of clients, we can be reasonably profitable. So these are the more or less the rationale.
Sorry, Alessandro, do you need to open a physical branch there?
No, we don't need.
Okay, so the CapEx are, we could say, below 1 million euro to set up the entire project?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Okay, thanks.
In terms of impact here to date, we on the performance on our asset management is minus 1.1%. So it's overall it's not... Because as you know, the most part of our clients are positioned in so-called balanced solutions, and so the impact has been until now relatively small.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro with Autonomous. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. A couple of questions on my side. First of all, I see that, I mean, you keep collecting nicely deposits, and my understanding is that you increase also your exposure during the quarter to UniCredit bonds, other than increasing the duration and switching into fixed govies. So increasing also your yield. But from now on, how shall we look at your balance sheet going forward? Assuming that you keep, gathering deposits at this run rate, and we have seen already very nice numbers in April, I guess that you have some concentration limit on your total govi portfolio, because it's already more than 15% of your total assets. So how shall we look at that? Shall we consider that you keep investing into UniCredit bonds? And if this is the case, how you see NII in the short term, in the second, and maybe going forward as well? Some short-term visibility would be good. Second, on the fee side, I understand this was a very bad quarter on the investing side, as your peers. There are still outflows in April, but of course the market performance is going to help you. So my question is, how you see margin in the second quarter and level of fees as well? I know that it's still early, but you are probably at the beginning of the quarter. But just to have a feel on this. And on your brokerage activity, that was a very strong quarter. What shall we expect also in the second, given that my understanding is that people are moving basically on more profitable products, OTC, in your activity? Thanks.
Okay, let me start from our balance sheet. First of all, we didn't increase the amount of UniCredit bonds, because it's a substitution of bonds. Sorry. So yes, so there has been an increase of 600 million, yes, on UniCredit bonds. So regarding the balance sheet, so we expect that our capability to collect side deposits is going to remain on the strong side, but clearly we expect as soon as we have the markets returning in a more stable and quiet situation, clearly you can expect the mix on our net sales coming back to the usual pattern. So we have a much larger percentage represented by asset under management products, and so with a decrease both of asset under custody and deposits. So we expect to remain on the strong side regarding our gathering and deposits, but lower than we experienced at the beginning of the year, assuming that we remain in a quite and stable market condition. So what I mean with quite and stable market conditions is not necessarily markets that they are going up, but they are markets characterized by a relatively under control level of volatility. Because what is making the clients concerned is not the fact that markets are going down, but is the volatility. So if you have a huge market correction, so this is what we expect. In terms of concentration limits on govies, we have no limits practically, and so clearly we have no problems in keeping on investing in govies for considering the expected future new inflows of liquidity. So on this point, we have no issue. I want to remind also that liquidity for us remains a great business, because also assuming to be extremely conservative in the way we are investing our liquidity. For example, assuming that we invest on govies with Italian govies with I don't know 5-6 year maturities, we can get something in the region of 50 basis points. That is absolutely comparable with what we are getting from the so-called plain vanilla asset management products, that they are in the region of 46 basis points net of what we pay to the clients. Regarding the fees on investing, clearly we have been impacted by the difficult market conditions. I would like to underline as the impact on us has been much lower than the impact on the other peers, because clearly, as you know, we don't have one single euro of performance fee. And in any case, we are keeping an extremely balanced and prudent approach with our clients. In any case, our management fees are up. Management fees are up 3.8% year on year, and down by only 4.7% quarter on quarter. So, in fact, the average profitability of our business has remained in the region of 62 basis points, and this thanks to the what has been a negative impact produced and the typical slight change in the mix, because clearly we have clients taking a little bit more cautious approach, has been definitely offset by our continuous moving direction of guided solutions. And as a guidance, what you can expect for the future is an even stronger acceleration in the penetration of guided solutions on the asset under management products, because this is one of the main activity on which our network is involved. All the incentive scheme of the network is strongly based on their capability to achieve a certain kind of level of penetration of guided and on guided solution. On the second quarter brokerage.
Sorry, just to understand. Apologize. On the AUM fees, how do you expect margin with visibility right now?
We expect the margin going up.
In the second quarter.
Yes,
okay.
We expect the margin going up for the. Clearly, on one end, there is the continuous moving direction of guided solutions, and also by a recomposition of the asset mix. And in any case, also a more stable market condition, they're going to produce a positive volume effect, because again, we expect the mix of net sales coming back to a normal level, in which asset management products are playing a bigger role respect to what has been in the first couple of months of the year. On brokerage, what we can confirm is a continuous move of the clients in direction of over-the-counter products, for the reasons I was explaining, are more profitable than the traditional cash equity. On the other hand, clearly, brokerage is the least predictable part of our business, because it's strictly related to the level of volatility of the market. But there is a perfect balance, because when you have more when you have quieter market conditions and lower volatility, clearly you have the investing side doing definitely better than during the period of volatility. On the other end, when there is huge level of volatility, you have investing suffering and the brokerage doing very well. So in terms of overall composition of our fees generations, we remain extremely relaxed because, again, the bank is confirming the robustness of the business model because we are able to keep on. Because also this quarter that has been, by industry standard, an horrible quarter, we registered the second best quarter of ever in the Fineco history. So this, in my opinion, is the best way to explain how the Fineco business model works.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Matteo Ghilotti with Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one is on the new clients, because in the first 4 months, the number of new clients is slightly below the same number of last year. If I'm not wrong, 29,000 new clients compared to 30,000 last year, which I mean, it's not important the number per se. I just want to ask you if you believe that you know, you have reached a plateau in terms of the number of clients that that you can acquire in a year. The second question is on net fees. You started a repricing of the credit cards. My question is, do you plan to basically get back the 8-10 million euros of banking fees that you have lost? And if we are going to see the effect of this repricing already in the second quarter, or is more a 2016, let's say, policy. So when shall we start to see a rebound in the banking fees? And the final question is on cost. I did not understand if in the first quarter you had the cost of the single resolution fund. So is there any kind of, let's call it, extraordinary cost in this quarter related to this? Thank you.
So let me start from the new clients. Based on our numbers, in the first 4 months, we gathered nearly 41,000 new customers. That is 1% more than we got last year. So we can say that we are pretty much in the same range of numbers. Consider that differently from last year, we have been hit in the month of April by a seasonal effect because we delayed by a couple of weeks the launch of our traditional marketing campaign because we started 2 weeks later because now, for example, we have our TV advertising has just started during this weekend, and the same story for our member get member service. So clearly April has been below what you usually can expect, mainly because for technical reasons we started our marketing campaign, and also because my colleagues are signaling that we took the opportunity to spend a little bit less, because usually when there are marketing campaigns, they are also driven by if you have some interesting opportunity, because for example in certain kind of period of the time of the year there is nobody, the period is not too crowded, clearly you can get the better prices. For these reasons, there has been this delay respect last year of a couple of weeks. But overall, also assuming this seasonal effect, our number of clients acquired are pretty much at the same level of last year. So again, in my opinion, this is a great number, considering that, as has been correctly underlined by your colleague before, now there are a much larger number of banks that they are making offers on the markets on interest rates, because clearly there are many banks that they are under stress in terms of the way they're managing their liquidity. And nevertheless, the bank is keeping on growing very nicely. So this is we are absolutely fine. In terms of repricing credit cards, this has been started, and clearly this is going to be done currently with the expiring of our credit cards. So we are not going to make a massive repricing of our credit cards, but when we have some credit cards expiring, we are going to provide to the clients a new pricing. This is emerging as absolutely is going through. It's an extremely smooth approach that is very well received by the clients. In terms of guidance, for this year, we don't expect a significant impact produced by this repricing, but the negative impacts produced by the introduction of this cap is going to be offset by the extraordinary gain that we are going to get by the Visa Europe transaction. Going forward for the next years, what we expect at the end of the repricing process is to more than offset the negative impact produced by the introduction of this cap. So at the final end, for us, to some extent, has been a good thing, because as first to us to reconsider a little bit better the way we were pricing our credit card business. So the final end is going to be to produce for the bank an advantage. But again, this is mainly thanks to the fact that our base of clients is extremely loyal, very satisfied, and so they for them it's not a problem to pay a small additional price for a great service.
Just a follow-up to understand. It means that if the repricing is effective when the card expires, it means that it will take, 3 years to have the full impact.
A couple of years,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
In terms of impact on the cost on a single resolution fund, we received right now the communication by Bank of Italy regarding which is the amount that is going to be paid by Fineco, and the amount is zero, because Fineco is ranked as the safest and the least risky bank in Italy, and so our contribution is zero.
Thank you.
The next question is from Elena Perini with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have only two clarifications and follow-ups to ask. The first one is about your net inflows of approximately 800 million in guided products in the first four months of the year. These were at the expense of other products, since your net inflow in AUM was approximately 55 million. Can you give us some color about the products which were penalized by the outflows in AUM? And the second follow up is about the contribution of 5 million to the trading income from the sale of govies at variable rate. Was this contribution recorded in one of the three of your business lines, so in the banking, or out of the contribution of the three business lines? Thank you.
Yes, regarding the guided products, clearly our move in direction of guided products is moving to different directions. One, clearly the most part of the new inflows in asset under management products are going to go there. And clearly, the beginning of the year has been a start of the year characterized by almost zero, if not negative, inflows on the asset under management product. At the same time, there is another process that in which financial planners are moving out from the they are transforming the portfolios made by mutual funds, both directly from the platform by them, in direction of a guided and structured solution. So the substitution underway is a reduction of mutual funds directly booked by the financial planners and put in the portfolio of the clients, in direction of these guided solutions in which the mutual funds both are driven by asset allocation models and matrix provided by the bank. So this is so what you can expect moving forward, assuming that we remain in a decently stable market condition. What you can expect is that practically the most part of the net new inflows in asset under management are going to move in direction of guided solutions, and on top of that, you can expect a continuation of this move of substitution of directly booked by financial planners, mutual funds, in direction of guided solutions. So again, this is a key element of our strategy to move as fast as we can the financial planners and clients in direction of guided solutions. The 5 million gain on the sales of Govis, I want to remind that this sales is not driven by strictly related to the correct management of our asset and liabilities management position, because I want to remind that Fineco has the most part of the deposits that they are remunerated zero, and for these reasons we are theoretically exposed to an declining interest rates. And so considering that a large part of our portfolio is a floating rate ones, clearly we have to move progressively in direction of moving the portfolio with a larger amount of fixed rate solutions. And so we replaced a floating rate bonds from the portfolios with a maturity that it was not anymore coherent with the expected thickness of our and persistence of our deposits in direction of fixed rate government bonds. So this is part of the of our strategic management of our asset liabilities management position. But in any case, it's coherent with some guidance we gave in the past, in which we explained to the market that Fineco had room for improving the sustainability of the net interest income, thanks to the fact that we had room for moving from floating rate investments to fixed rate investments, and also clearly we have an expected persistence and thickness that is continuously rising, thanks to the fact that clients are extremely loyal and the churn rate is continuously going down. This gain is not accounted in any of the business area, and is being put in what we can call a corporate center. So the description we are providing the business area is not affected by these extraordinary five million gain.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Alberto Villa with Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Just two quick questions. One is on the cost expectations going forward during the year. We have seen a very disciplined trend in costs in the first quarter of this year. Was wondering if the expectations in terms of staff expenses and other administrative expenses we should look at for the following quarters would be let's say in line or similar to what we have seen in the first part of the year, so a very marginal growth year over year going forward.
Yes, we confirm that one of the main points of strength of the bank is the huge operational leverage. You can expect an extremely under control level of cost. What we call the running cost, again, we confirm they're expected to grow overall in all the year by a few million euros. Consider also that as we presented several times in the past, during this year, you can expect the start of the beginning of the decline of the impact of the stock granting plan. This impact is going to start during the second half of the year, because clearly the stock granting plan has reached the peak last year, and this year is expected to starting on going down by more or less 30% year-on-year. This impact is going to be reflected in the second half of the year. Again, we confirm that we are extremely confident and extremely relaxed regarding the future dynamics of our cost.
Thank you. The second question is on the guarded products and eventually any further initiative or any product that you may consider to introduce in your offering. Is there anything that during this year you will think of introducing to attract new customers or to attract the assets of your customers that are currently in current accounts or in other products?
Yes. Just 2 weeks ago, we launched a brand new service that the name is CoreTarget. It's an incredibly innovative service because it's a fund that is embedding in a strategy that is in which is a fund that is starting as a practically a money market fund. We have three different lines. One that is accumulating the liquidity on a two-year horizon, moving in a direction to have at the end of this accumulation process, you're moving from a 100% money market fund to a 50% money market funds and a 50% an equity fund. There is a second solution in which the accumulation period is 3 years, and at the end of the process, we are going to have an exposure of 75%. Finally, there is the last one, the most aggressive, in the accumulation process is 4 years, and at the end of the process, we are going to have 100% exposure to the equity market. It's a great product because it's structured, is embedding in one very simple fund, because it's characterized for buying more during the correction periods and buying less or even selling a portion of the equity exposure when you have the markets rising above a certain kind of level. For us, we have a great expectation by this product because it's going to solve, which is one of the usually most difficult problem for financial planners is when they have to make their clients starting on investing on the markets, because the big question mark they have, if okay, I'm making the client investing, but if tomorrow morning the market is going down, what I can tell to the clients. In this case, clearly, if you have the market keeps on going down, this is not going to produce on the short term a great impact on the fund, but on the other end, it's going to be a great advantage because it's going to move and direct the clients in the direction to do the right things. To buy when the market is going down and to be cautious when the market is going up. From a technological point of view, it's a great service, and it's going to be provided to the network through a kind of IPO process. This is going to finish by the process by the middle of June. We expect it to be a very interesting contribution in direction to reduce the amount of asset that the custody and liquidity the clients are detaining.
Thank you. That's very interesting. Is it possible to have any kind of flavor about the profitability or the, let's say,
yes,
margins?
Yes, the margins they are continuously stepping up because the product is starting at the beginning as a money market fund, but overall is providing a profitability for the bank that is in the region of 50 basis points, and then the more the fund is moving in the direction of an equity exposure, the profitability is going to increase. And so you can expect an overall profitability of more or less 200 basis points at the end of the process. Clearly, you have to divide this by two because this is gross, and you have to consider what is paid back to the network. But in any case, is going to be pretty much aligned in terms of what you can expect from the guided solutions, because we gave as a guidance on the guided solutions an average profitability in the region of 70 basis points, something like that. And from this kind of products, you can expect on average and over the life period of the products, this kind of profitability.
Thank you very much. Have you got any target in terms of assets you would like to raise with the IPO process?
It's a brand new product. We are extremely positive. The response we are getting from the network are absolutely enthusiastic, but as usual, we have to see directly which kind of the real impact. But in any case, we think that it's a great service.
Thank you. That's all for me. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Federico Salerno with MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Two quick follow-ups for me, please. The first is on the liquidity. Do you have a number for the liquidity coverage ratio now? And forgive me if I've missed it. And the second is on the 5 million gain on bonds. Can you say what the fiscal impact was on this? Thank you.
Starting from the 5-year gain in terms of impact is impacted with the usual tax rate, so there is no difference from the other revenues. And on liquidity coverage ratio, our situation is pretty fine. Now the CFO is collecting the precise number.
We have more than 100%.
In any case, we are definitely above 100%, so it's an absolutely comfortable position.
Thank you. Do you expect the LCR to kind of constrain your liquidity management policy going forward or not really? Do you have anything to say about this?
No, we don't expect any significant constraints or problems produced by the liquidity coverage ratio. No, absolutely no.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Foti, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you to every one of you, and talk to you soon.